Hello, friends. Ben Garrett here, Brad Logan. After Ole Miss beats LSU 24-19, cementing its contender playoff status in a great football game in Oxford, Mississippi. Beautiful day, beautiful football. Trinidad Chambliss, great things. This is the drive home driven by Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford. Our friends at Alan Samuels, they've been great to us. And we're thankful for them. And what a night, Brad. We got so much to go over. We got game balls to hand out. We've got quarterback stuff to talk about. Lane Kiffin, man, was he happy in his post-game press conference. Yeah. What a game. What a win.
Yeah, that's exactly what we just took away as we set up here. I looked at Ben. I said, the one thing we saw tonight from Lane Kiffin in the press conference was, I mean,
happy man.
He was happy. And we've not seen that from him in a long time. And not to say that he's unhappy, but normally after wins, even after Georgia last year, Ben, you'll remember, he was very calm. He didn't say – I mean, he said what he needed to say. You could tell he was happy for the win. But tonight he was generally happy. And so seeing him kind of joke, kind of go back and forth with reporters, Heather Dinich of ESPN asked the question, who's the starting quarterback? We'll get to that answer in just a moment. But tonight, to me, watching this football team, it fought through adversity. You asked the question. We'll get to your question in a minute. But I thought the key component of the game, to me, was 2-for-2 on fourth down. And it wasn't just two run-of-the-mill fourth down plays. It was two of the plays of the game.
Absolutely. And that fourth down call to seal the game is as Lane Kiffin gets. Because in old days, you got the ball, you've wasted all their timeouts, about a minute and a half left, kick the field goal, they got to go, they get the ball one more time, but they got to go so far, and they got to get a touchdown and a two-point conversion. Lane Kiffin, in the new way of thinking with analytics, it's not even a decision. I was saying this on the sidelines. To anybody who would listen, including Brett Norsworthy, he's over there doing the Ole Miss post game stats. He's the best. I said, you go for it. This isn't even a thought. This is now a one play game to go win it. Perfectly designed play. And Lane said it, man. Like, he really deliberated on that decision. He really just had to figure out if that was the right call to make. It was 100% the right call. Because as much as Garrett Nussmeier and that LSU offense really underwhelmed me, you still go try to win the game right then and there. And Ole Miss, a perfectly designed play to Daquan Wright, and that wins the game. And Pete Golding, it was cool in the postgame to hear Lane talking about that. Mm-hmm. Like when he's deliberating about that fourth down call, he actually talked to Pete. And Pete was like, yeah, you go for it. And then in the postgame, Lane says, Pete straight up said, you would have never forgiven yourself had you not. That is 100% the right play. A ballsy play, yes, but by the book and what Lane Kiffin philosophically goes by. And it won a game that cements Ole Miss as a true playoff contender, having replaced in the offseason 18 of 22 starters, which Lane noted in his postgame press conference. This Ole Miss football team is 5-0 and 3-0 in the SEC for the first time since, I think you said it, Eli, right? This is a special, special formula that Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, that what they have found, not just with Trinidad Chambliss, but the identity of the run. Kiwan Lacy had really tough yards today. He's going to get a game, a helmet sticker. Go ahead. Write it down. He's getting a helmet sticker, game ball, whatever you want to call it. But I was just really impressed with how Ole Miss bullied LSU. Because, listen, it's hard to double up your opposing team with in penalties and lose the turnover margin. And
I've still never seen that before.
And still win
pretty
convincingly. Yes, it was a one-score game. Yes, Ole Miss trailed at one point, took that first initial shot from LSU, right, when it was 7-3. But once they withstood that, Ole Miss absolutely controlled this game. And even though Trinidad had his first real bad decision, that interception, that was a bad decision. A complete, total, best team win, in my opinion, of Lane Kiffin's career at Ole Miss.
I agree.
They dominated them.
It was domination. And here's let's talk about this first of all before we go any further. Right behind us, the student section, you stayed the whole game, and it was a zoo in here. Across the way, the south end zone, the clubs, everything was crazy today. You, the fans, are to be commended. It was an incredible atmosphere. Lane Kiffin even talked about how happy he was that the fans were a huge component of this game. Look, I get it. Tiger Stadium, Death Valley at night. I get all that.
Mm.
But you were a difference maker today. And Ole Miss and its football program, I heard a rival news anchor, what have you, that I've talked with during the week. Let's just say that. And they said, Vaught Hemingway Stadium now versus 5, 10, 15 years ago, it's night and day. It's an intimidating place to play, and the fans are because of that. Let's go back to Trinidad Chambliss. I want to talk about him just for a moment. 14 carries, 71 on the ground. And a lot of those 71 yards were had-to-have yards.
Yes.
They were had-to-have yards, and he got them. Leaning forward. Now, Lane didn't get too mad when he talked about it. I wish he would have stayed in bounds. He was trying to get a first down, and he played his tail off today. Let's look at this, too. Passing, 23 of 39, had the one pick, bad decision, 314, one touchdown, a long of 32. And, Ben, Heather Dinich asked a question about the starting quarterback, and Lane didn't commit.
It's the first time he's ever been completely non-committal.
Yes, he was.
Publicly.
He said, his direct quote was, "I'm not prepared to answer that right now." And who can blame him? Trinidad Chambliss has been incredible. I walked through the Grove before the game just to see the pageantry of it, just to see, where Brett Norris, where them stand up. I like to always go by and say hello to them. And I looked around. There were Trinidad flags everywhere.
Trinidad flags were everywhere. This is becoming a thing.
In the stands.
Lane Kiffin has talked about what a cool story it is, this short kid from Division II, as he described it. And that's exactly what you're seeing, a true story, great story unfold in front of you. It has nothing to do with Austin Simmons as a player and his potential and what he's going to be. It just has to do with how the circumstances have unfolded. Lane's essentially said in the postgame that Austin Simmons was healthy and could have played today.
Yeah.
And Trinidad still made his third consecutive start. I looked at the postgame notes, 314 yards passing, such a quiet 314, but it shows you the surgical way in which he plays. It's methodical. It wears on defenses. They take their shots when they're there, and that elite running ability is really blended perfectly with an offensive line that has always been not suspect in pass pro, but certainly not as good as they are in run protection, really creating running lanes. And when you've got the running back in Kewon Lacy, who's second in the country in missed tackles created, and you've got a running back in Trinidad Chambliss, who is essentially an improvement over even Jackson Dart as a runner, that's what you play to. Those are the strengths you play to. And then lean on whoever wide receiver bought that great wide receiver group that is making plays today. And there are a lot of guys like that today. Winston Watkins, the freshman, former four-star.
By the way, he's getting a game ball from me.
Getting a game ball. He has to. Helmet sticker, whatever. Like, give him his early, his early helmet sticker because he was making plays. Caden Lee finally showed up today. The fumble was tough, but yeah, tough hit.
It was huge.
Yeah, but like, he comes back, gets his first touchdown reception.
I think the next drive, he came back and made a huge third down catch.
Yeah.
And here's something nobody's talking about. Nobody talked about it. And I didn't get a chance to ask it in the press conference, but whatever. 8 of 16 on third down, 50%. To me, I get the 2 for 2 and fourth down. That was big. But to me, 8 for 16 was a huge component of this game. Ole Miss faced a number of third downs, none more important than in the fourth quarter. When obviously there was a fourth down call, I get that. But there was a huge third down conversion in the fourth quarter. To me, this breaks down in a certain ways. During the preseason, if you're looking at this Ole Miss schedule, you're thinking, okay, you get past the first four games and you get to 4-0. Then the SEC season, you get past Arkansas, I get it, you get to a certain point. Then you start chalking off wins. You start looking at losses, possible wins. This is absolutely a playoff team because by beating LSU, now you're thinking, okay, can 10-2 get you in the playoff?
Yes.
If 10-2 gets you in the playoff, what are the two losses you can give? I mean, there's Oklahoma on the road. There's Georgia on the road. After that, you're going to be favored in the rest of the games.
State's going to be tough.
State played Tennessee to the brink. I get it.
And State is playing really – they're playing complimentary football. They're not turning it over. Very competent, well-rounded football.
Absolutely. Jeff Labby's done a heck of a job.
That's one of the toughest games they have left because they have to go to Starkville.
And it's always going to be a zoo.
Like last year, Ole Miss was exponentially better than them from talent to roster, all of the things.
Yeah.
And yet State played them hard as hell. Same thing is going to happen except with a better team at the end of the year. You got to go to their place. So that's a tough one, but you're right. What this signifies is that Ole Miss, or solidifies at least, is that Ole Miss is a playoff contender. Ole Miss is a team that should be moving up from 13 to 7 in the rankings, if not a little bit higher. If I fully expect them to come out like number 10 because, all these national media people will turn around and go,
I wonder if Reese Davis and Nicole Auerbach, I wonder if they think Ole Miss might be a top 25 team.
Mm. Did they say that this week?
No, that was
a week. Oh, God, I was speaking to say.
Ole Miss wasn't ranked in their top 25. I didn't understand that.
It didn't make any sense. But in what doesn't make sense to me is why we're even having the conversation in regards to Austin and Trinidad. Because
I don't think that's part of
what needs to be addressed.
Right. It's because just, it's settled law.
It's settled law. It's kind of where it is. I mean, what's the point of saying one thing over the other when it's quite obvious to you and me and the people watching and listening who is the better quarterback right now? We don't know if Simmons is the better quarterback because there's no reason to know. We know because of what is on the stat sheet and who just won over LSU, who's top 10 behind us. That's Trinidad Chambliss.
I mean,
that's kind of where it is.
He's the guy.
And until that changes, I don't know why there needs to be a discussion about it.
Yeah. And it's a good time to have the bye week, too. Ole Miss needs a week off. It's like the schedule is really, because of how they've gotten out of the early portion of it, set up well for them to have a special season, to really make a play for a college football playoff berth. Because if you would have told me coming out that they'd be 5-0 in their first five, including win over LSU, I just wouldn't have seen. I said, there's too much noon. There's too many question marks. But the one thing Trinidad Chambliss has done that Austin struggled with both in fall camp and then in his two starts was turning the ball over. In the middle of the third quarter, the game very much in doubt, the interception from Trinidad, that was a bad decision.
Yeah.
And honestly, the game could have flipped on that end, but the defense played so well, and he went back to playing more complimentary football, not forcing things, just kind of that you why go for 50 when you can just keep killing them with a million cuts, right? Slicing them up, 4-6-8, 4-6-8, and that's what Ole Miss did, and you can do that because of the running component that he brings that Austin doesn't. So when you find a winning formula and you find something that works, because Ole Miss is cool with a grimy game like that. Ole Bay's playing 24-19.
I said all along, get a rock fight with
them. Yeah, 24-19. Like, think about last year in the Kentucky game, lost 20-17.
Yeah.
Same thing, Florida. What was it, 24-17, whatever?
Yeah.
You know, same kind of game, but now they can get in a rock fight. They would rather make it grimy because their true strengths are not in the quarterback even. It's in a offensive line that's best, like, bulldozing downhill. Keewon Lacy being the number two.
That's why you can get in a rock
fight. Yeah.
Because you got that dude.
They didn't have that last year.
It made Trinidad a bunker with that dude.
Yeah. And Trinidad. And I love Keewon doesn't get talked about enough.
No,
about his ability to pass pro and protect Trinidad Chambliss. We got to give the offensive line a lot of credit now, y'all. Okay? That group was bad in the first three quarters against Georgia State. But they have figured something out. And even in pass pro, Trinidad Chambliss had clean pockets. He had to make some throws. And guess what he did? That's what he made. He made the throws. And if he's not turning the ball over, and if they're allowed to play a game where they control all pace and tempo, you can double up your opponent on penalties. You can lose a turnover margin, but that's a hard formula to crack. That's a hard group to – that's why the tush-push in the Philadelphia Eagles, you know what I mean? Like, everybody wants to roll out. If you can find a formula, a running formula that Ole Miss has found, and it's successful, this isn't a discussion. It's not. Trinidad Chambliss is the quarterback until something happens, whatever that is.
Now, Ole Miss is, we talked about it, 5-0, 3-0 in the SEC. Talk about why you can get into a rock fight. I think Keewon Lacy is a huge reason why you can do that. Chambliss is a huge reason why you can do that. You trust him, although with the pick, you trust him with the football. That's the only mistake he's made.
And I don't mind the throw necessarily.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50
ball. The only one over his head.
My issue was, like, you didn't have to take the chance. That's the reason. It was a bad decision because of the way the game was playing out. He didn't need to take that chance, and he did. But still, it's a 50-50 ball. Could have been better, a little higher. I just didn't think it was necessary because they were bullying LSU.
Now, here, Ben, is why I think Ole Miss got into the rock fight and they won in the end because of that defense, because of Pete Golding, but mainly because Cam Franklin, late Conference High School, Mississippi, best game of his career.
Well, that's a great game.
Huge game. Listen to these numbers. 5 tackles, one and a half tackles for loss. How many quarterback hurries? 4. Mm. He didn't get home, but he was double-teamed many times. Huge game. And T.J. Dodery. We finally saw T.J. Dodery have himself a game.
That was his best game so far this year.
He was flying all over the place.
And, like, the numbers aren't great for him, but, like, he was everywhere. Centurion Perkins, he looked more like himself today. He was all over the field. He's still not rushing the quarterback enough. I'm shocked to see he almost only got one sack. William Echols isn't talked about enough for how dominant he's been. He's not Walter Nolan yet, but, buddy, he is not far off. He is an anchor in the middle for Ole Miss defensively, and if they can get home more, that's where the playmaking is. They're still lacking the playmaker on defense. They're not getting turnovers. They're not getting to the quarterback. But man, they make it so hard on opposing offenses. Nothing is particularly easy. We were worried early on about the Ole Miss secondary. After the spring, we were like, dude, they're in trouble.
There were a couple plays today, Ben, where they were kind of lost.
They were, but man, Ricky Fletcher. played his butt off. He battled his butt off. That group has held up. Sage Ryan got some revenge against his old team. Deshaun Womack gets his – what I thought was his first sack. I guess it didn't register. But Deshaun Womack came in on a big play on third down late in the game.
I think he got like the – I think the quarterback got like a yard.
Oh, that's
so cool. It didn't register as a sack.
And it should have. But like Deshaun Womack, like those LSU players getting a moment, just all around a perfect Ole Miss football day. It truly was, because what you felt – that you bring up a really good point. It doesn't need to be lost. I remember growing up, because I've been around this my entire life, going to Ole Miss LSU, and LSU in the olden days, man, that purple and gold would have been – they had been half and half in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Buddy, y'all had them relegated to there and there and drowned them out. And then Ole Miss at the end of the game plays neck, plays calling Baton Rouge.
I'm sorry. Hemingway, I've never heard it. I've never seen the Golden Band from Tigerland, which is one of my favorite bands in the conference. They brought the whole band today. But I've never seen this less amount of LSU fans in the stadium, like Ben said. And that's a testament to Ole Miss fans. You didn't sell out to the fans. Season ticket holders, you showed out today. I know I said that at the top of the show. I want to say that again. I mean, the Hey song at the end, the Hottie Toddy, the neck with the very
so good
different language. And then
it wasn't Suck the Tiger. It was so funny. And so many former players here. Yeah. I saw John Rhys Plumlee, who's got an amazing mustache now. Talk to him. Great,
really
dude.
Really good mustache.
The Moore twins were here. Reese McIntyre was here. I saw Patrick Trahan. And, man, you talk about Rebels who are legendary. You don't get talked about enough. Patrick Trahan, that 2008 Cotton Bowl year.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my so gosh.
So, it was a great Ole Miss day.
It was just a great day.
It just needed a great result. And Ole Miss got that. And I was most impressed with how complete it was. Yeah, the turnover – didn't have to do it. But, man, other than that, the offensive line was setting the pace. Man, they were firing off. They were protecting. The defensive line was pressuring Garrett Nussmeier. And, man, I don't know about you, but I was already underwhelmed with Garrett Nussmeier. I've been on record about that. He's either hurt or something, because I don't see what others are seeing here.
Let me say this about Nussmeier. When Frenchwell Amamiellon hit him and he went down, I think it was in the first half, he was a little different. I mean, he was not as good as we've seen him in years past. And I just thought Nussmeier played, you know, a little tentatively in the second half. Ben, I have two things I need Ole Miss fans to do tonight.
Oh, okay.
Very important things.
Two important things.
Number one. Number one, I need you to get a piece of paper. I need you to get a magic marker, Sharpie, whatever permanent writing tool that you have. I need you to write.
Notes app.
We are Ole Miss.
You're such a dork.
Ball it up and flush it down the toilet. That doesn't exist anymore. Then those same people, because I know the same people that like that. I want you to go to your closet, your drawer,
right,
wherever it's hanging, the shirt that says, "We may not win the game, but we win the party."
They did all the winning today.
That needs to be
retired.
That needs to be thrown away.
And it leads to my next big point. Ole Miss didn't rush the field. Ole Miss fans didn't rush the field after beating number three LSU.
What did Lane say about the $500,000 extra that you could do with that?
He's going to go buy one of the defensive backs that he missed out on before.
A half of a defensive back.
I know how much they had. They were in it for A.J. Halsey, number 13 for LSU, that played a good game.
Yeah.
And, that was about – you ain't even halfway there, man, at 500K. Yeah. But it says –
by the way, they're good.
They're good. LSU has real talent. It's just they can't run the ball. And Garrett Nussmeier,
Not having Durham today hurt them.
It did. And I just don't see what Garrett Nussmeier. I don't see it. And I'm not – either he's hurt or – like, I just think we're so starved in college football for star quarterback play that we've been trying to just find that guy that just checks the most boxes. Honestly, if you really want to talk the truth, who honestly should be in the Heisman discussion after 5 weeks?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get killed for this, but –
Trinidad Jambliss.
I mean,
look across the board.
Look at the numbers.
Tommy Castellanos just shit the bed against Virginia.
Did you see did anybody happen to see last night? I was doing the scoreboard show, and somebody texted me a picture of Castellanos walking off the field, and someone was giving him the bird right in his face.
It was. That sucked.
That was a pretty terrible thing to do to that young
but
man.
But Ole Miss fans not rushing the field, what does that say? That says that Ole Miss isn't that program anymore, and that's good. Lane said that, and I'm glad that y'all see this now. You didn't just slay big bad LSU. Like, I remember I was there on a 50 in 2003 when Eli fell just short against LSU. I remember. What are you doing? I remember what the stadium sounded like when Travis Johnson intercepted Matty Mark in the end zone. It was the loudest I'd ever heard it.
Yeah.
Like, we were ready to just storm the field after that day. Just the Ole Miss win we'd never seen. Now it's commonplace. And the fact that Ole Miss fans are on board too, they fill the stadium, they show out, they drown out the other team, and they have confidence that they're just as good, if not better, than your team. And it's never more evident than today. Today, Ole Miss looked like, and they've been on that place. Like, Lane has done unbelievable things in 6 years. But today, they look big time. They look like a big time program in all phases.
You know, Ole Miss, even up until the game today, a lot of the conjecture around Ole Miss, Vaught Hemingway Stadium, was an erector set, a high school stadium. The
comical.
The 03 National SEC West Champion.
They need
champion.
To take that down.
The 03 season, the 59 Billy Cannon run, the 72 game when Harry Harrison, who, by the way, hates LSU.
He really does. And he asks the same question every week on Monday.
Yeah.
I love Harry Harrison.
I love him for this question.
But he's always like, you know we hate LSU.
You know what week it is, Lane.
You know.
He's like,
and he's done this, like, going back to coaches before life. He's like, all right, Matt, you know we hate LSU, right? Like, as long as that man's above ground, he will keep the LSU.
But here's the thing: when you look at the game against LSU in the series, which, by the way, it will continue along with Mississippi State and Oklahoma. So you look at the series, and what kills LSU fans and media to a certain extent is that this series is a lot closer, and it is a lot more parity than they like to believe.
Ole Miss fans, football season is in full swing. And Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Playing on Underdog is easy. Simply pick whether your favorite players in any sport will go higher or lower on stats. For Ole Miss, that's touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Think Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss will go over or under 2.5 combined touchdowns this week. I did too. It's why I made my picks on Underdog, the place to win money all season long. Ole Miss greats DK Metcalf and AJ Brown have been winning picks all season long in the NFL. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. Download the Underdog app today and sign up with my promo code, CHAMPIONS, to score $100 in bonus funds or entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks. Win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See UnderdogFantasy.com for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Well, the home team keeps winning. That means it's even. That's what you're saying. It's an even series. I mean, because now the home team has won 12 out of the last 14 meetings between these schools.
Yeah.
So where LSU used to be like, I remember how excited people were when Andrew Ritter walked LSU off in 2013 and how it felt like a monumental thing because you're overcoming Odell and you're overcoming all of this talent that with guys that maybe weren't on the same talents in the same talent tier as those guys. Those teams were evenly matched. Actually, I would argue Ole Miss had more star power out there. And that's what I'm saying. If you look at Ole Miss and what it's done to this point, where there is a college football landscape, folks, where there are no dominant teams, you just watched a playoff caliber win. That's the kind of resume stuff. Ole Miss is just as good as anybody. And if it's even though its defense has to find a way to get home, has to play make, get some turnovers, they make it tough as hell. I mean, they found something. This group here is gritty. It's gamey. And, man, I'm telling you, they found something that they can really ride in every game they play. It will travel. This kind of game travels. You know, the heaviest variation of Lane Kiffin's pass happy offense.
All the insults, all the conjecture, all of the downtrodden, well, at least I don't live in Mississippi, all the stuff about how much our food's better than yours. Ole Miss fans, you can do one thing. You can turn around and you point to the scoreboard. That's all that matters.
He's buttoned up. I'm not. So, like, that is as shit talk as Brad Logan's going to get, you know, scoreboard. So, I like that because it is true. Like, a lot of this week, I mean, especially if you hang out on Twitter like us idiots do, You saw a lot of that about 60,000-seat stadium.
It's a toilet bowl.
Yeah, about y'all pray for me. I'm in Oxford, Mississippi. Now, I'll give you something. New Orleans and Baton Rouge, I mean, y'all got some good food down there. And the gumbo they served in the press box, I wasn't going to touch it. But they served corn nuggets, which catering at Ole Miss, that was great. That was amazing. Corn nuggets for the corn dogs of LSU. That is just – I love it. Everybody is bought in. Everybody is invested. Everybody, as Houston Dale Nutt used to say, is pulling the rope together.
Oh,
you know, pulling
the
rope. Pulling the rope. This Ole Miss is a different Ole Miss. And Lane had already done that. He'd already elevated the program. But what today was a statement about their staying power, what they are, and what they continue to be, despite the detractors, despite everyone that wants to claim this, that, and the other about, well, Ole Miss hadn't beaten anybody. Well, Arkansas got his break speed off against Notre Dame. Why didn't you score? Blah, 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 blah. Ole Miss, you keep stacking wins. It doesn't matter. The end of the day, just like with the Austin Simmons decision, it's about the W.
Yeah.
And they're undefeated going into their bye week. They are ahead of the game. They're atop the SEC. And find me the team on their schedule and in the SEC that you go, oh, yeah, Ole Miss can't beat that team. There isn't one.
We'll get to the game balls in just a moment. Before we do, I want to thank our good friends at Allen Samuels, Christ, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. That's on the hill. By the way, I kept saying west of Kroger. Apologies. It's east of Kroger on the hill, but you know that.
We're sports people. We don't.
I don't know much about direction. Yeah, but I do know will find the best Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler, and Ram on the hill, on the left. Call Mason today. Go by and see him next week and tell him, hey, by the way, we've got record numbers tonight. Thank you very much for joining in.
Don't get nervous. He gets nervous when he
says I shouldn't have looked at the numbers. we've got record numbers. So thank you all once again for tuning in, and thank you to Mason and Brian and everybody at Allen Samuels. They've been an incredible partner for us, and we're so excited to partner with them. And it was a big night tonight. Ben, let's talk about our helmet stickers, game balls, whatever you want to call
them. Let's call them helmet stickers. I like that because I remember the old college football show.
Are you going to say Reese Davis again?
No, I was going to say Lee Hurst.
Did you see Reese Davis this morning?
What did Reese say?
Did you see on game day this morning? They all look like the Righteous Gemstones.
So which is amazing.
They all had – does that surprise you that I know what the Righteous Gemstones is?
It really does.
All right, so everybody had –
it was Uncle Baby Billy, Pat McAfee.
They all had on white, like solid white. Good. So it's because of Penn State, whatever. Anyway, let's talk about our helmet stickers.
Helmet stickers, we're giving them out just like what was that dude, Mark May and Lou Holtz used to do on the TV? Yeah. On the old end of
college football. What is that Mark May used to say?
I don't even remember. But we're giving them out.
We would do this.
We're giving helmet stickers. And I want you to go first because, I mean, we know Trinidad Chambliss gets a helmet sticker, but we try to pick out guys that maybe don't jump off the box score, but were so impactful. Who's your first one?
I've got to go Winnie Watkins. Yep. And here's why.
Yep.
And everyone's like, well, he didn't have but three catches. I get that.
But they had all big.
They're all big. He had not had any significant snaps leading into the game. And he comes out tonight against in the biggest game of his, not only his career, the biggest game of the season for Ole Miss. Three catches, 38 yards, 11 yards after the catch. Only 13 was the longest. But tonight he was a possession receiver, a night in which Caden Lee not only fumbled a ball, he got injured.
He was open so much.
Non-Caden Lee things. Winnie Watkins, is he the next Caden Lee? Big night tonight. Helmet sticker for me.
Got to be it. And I love – I mean, I've been saying that on this podcast, not this one, but Talk of Champions. Wherever – you know where I'm podcast. Talk of Champions, search for it. It's me and Brad. It's me and whoever. I get – Jarrell Poe. Shout out to my guy Poe. Go to YouTube, search Talk of Champions, Ole Miss.
That was a good interview.
Jarrell Poe.
And don't forget about Sudu. Now, y'all got a good show.
Thank you. But Jarrell Poe – predicted a 25-20 win for Ole Miss. 24-19 is close
that's
as you
good.
Get. Helmet sticker for Jarrell Poe.
So
I love that dude with everything I have. All right, my first helmet sticker is going to Ricky Fletcher. They've been trying to figure some things out opposite Antonio Kite. Man, he competed today. They took shots at him. A lot of one-on-one coverage specifically for him.
He was beat a few times. But he
recovered.
He did.
And he competed. And, man, he came up and run support. There's one play right over here where, buddy, if he doesn't feel – I mean, he tackled his man into the running back. Yes. I don't know if you remember this. Like Ricky came to play today. And this is on a day where Chris Grace played and had some up-and-down moments, but I thought it was pretty – I thought the secondary – yeah, they're going to get beat sometimes. But on the whole, this is one of the better games. This is the best game they played all year, in my opinion. Because like they were in place. You're going to get beat sometimes. That's football. But Ricky Fletcher, man, he kept coming back. In a day where Chris Graves kept playing, dipping into his rep share, Jalen Braxton finally appeared today. Arkansas transfer.
Really good game. I was like, wait, is that Jalen Braxton? And then I was like, well, there he is again. There he is again. I'm like, where's he been? I know he's been injured. But anyway, it was good to see him.
Yeah, because Jalen has been hurt. I mean, he has not been healthy since he was about the mid-year of his freshman year when he's a freshman All-American at Arkansas, and he made some plays today. So, like, that's what I'm talking about. Ricky Fletcher, though, when you need a defense that play makes, man, he's going to keep getting opportunities and opportunities. And if he keeps showing up like that, man, they're pretty salty. Much saltier, like far and away, a completely different defensive backfield than after the spring. Like getting him.
Oh, it's not even close.
I mean, it's Antonio Kai wasn't there. Like they'd already signed him, but he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Man, when you look at this group, an incredible testament to that scouting and development that they have at the IPF, that they find these guys that you money is finite. You can't just go spend the most money at Ole Miss on every player that you want. You sometimes have to sacrifice an A.J. Halsey and play against him at LSU. But Wydette Williams, man, on a discounted rate, played his butt off. Ricky Fletcher, and with the money that you earmarked or was willing to spend for A.J. Halsey, millions, you went and got Ricky Fletcher. You went and got Antonio Kite, Sage Ryan, Kapina Gushkin. Helmet sticker to first and foremost Ricky Fletcher, but really an extension to talent and scouting and development over in that IPF. Those guys don't get enough credit, and Pete Golding is the best in the business because he figured it out, because this group is holding up.
All right, so nerds like me and nerds out there watching, you're going to say, yep, I remember a name we haven't mentioned all year, and we haven't mentioned tonight up to this point, I don't know how long we've been on, Taj Chambers. Taj Chambers had one solo tackle. Does anyone remember what that tackle was? Do you remember? They're out there yelling at their screen. Yes, I remember. It was a huge third down play.
He had a pretty tough game. He was up and down. I watched him. He got washed away some.
I'm not giving a helmet sticker, but I want you to want everybody to understand how important that tackle was, and I want to call out to him. My helmet sticker is going to the pride of Lake Comer High School.
Love it.
Camp Frank.
Hey, Nick Nestor. Game. Nick Nestor over there at Lake Comer.
Nick Nestor.
You're the man, and your star pupil. He's doing the thing. I saw Ja'Cory Hobson walking off, too. He's going to impact winning.
Oh, he's going to be great.
Man, he's going to be a great player. It's fun standing down there watching the end of things and Ole Miss playing Nick and DeJon Stribling walking off with the trophy. I mean, that's the celebration you have, that Ole Miss expects to win that kind of game. And man, just what a great Ole Miss day.
All right. And, you know, real quick, I really like what Glenn Waddle said, the PA announcer for Ole Miss. I'm almost sure this was completely off the cuff and this was not scripted. But he said, thank you to the fans for not storming the field.
Yeah.
You are the best fans in college football.
Oh, it's great.
That was really cool.
Because Ole Miss has arrived. Ole Miss doesn't rush the field against a evenly matched opponent. LSU's not big, bad LSU anymore. You know what they are? Your contemporary. Not the David or the Goliath you have to conquer.
Yes,
the
most condescending thing you can say to a LSU fan is that we're even.
It's even. It's as even as it gets.
But it's not even in 2025, Ben.
No, it isn't. And also, LSU stormed the field last year after beating Ole Miss, and Ole Miss didn't do it this year against them. You can honestly say that the schools have kind of flipped places. If you really wanted to, you know, the streets are talking out there, Brad. I'm just telling you.
We've got one more.
Y'all stormed it last year. Ole Miss said, hey, we've been here before.
We've got one more helmet sticker apiece.
Oh, yeah. Of course. No, we got two more apiece. All right. Well, I said Ricky Fletcher. You said – oh, no, you already did your two. I got to do my second one. Trinidad Chambliss deserved it. I mean, we got to give it to him. 14 for 71, 29 for 39, had the interception, but a touchdown. The quietest 314, but, man, just surgical in that way. Third straight start, and Lane said it after the game. Austin could have played.
Yeah.
Trinidad was chosen to play, make his third straight start. Anderson Smith. Oh, it's Parks.
Yeah, we have.
My friend Parks. Is there a world in which Austin Simmons starts against Georgia, assuming both quarterbacks are healthy?
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible. But Trinidad Chambliss will have to have completely shit the bed, in my opinion. You don't take him out. They know who they are.
Yeah.
They know who they are. And, like, really coming into the year, who were they? Austin Simmons' football team? This is a team. They have a lot of dudes that are playing. Harrison Wallace has been pretty quiet lately, but, man, he keeps coming up big anyway. Deuce Alexander, what a stud. Winston Watkins. I'm giving it to Trinidad Chambliss because, by God, he deserves a helmet sticker. We were going to give it to him anyway. I said it at the start. Third straight win over two SEC teams. This isn't a conversation. Now, if he throws five picks against Washington State, okay. Let the best man win it whenever that adversity comes for Trinidad, because it will come most likely. But for now, it's not a discussion.
All right. Ben, stay with me when I say this. I'm going to get a helmet sticker to Lane Kiffin's intestinal fortitude. And the reason I say that is we've seen Lane go far.
Brad's very kindly and very buttoned up in Sunday school way saying he's got big balls.
We've seen Lane attempt a 76-yard field goal, which is ridiculous.
That was a different Lane Kiffin. That was like Sebastian
Janikowski. I'm getting there. We've seen Lane over the last 5 years go for it in his own 20, just ridiculous play calls, talking about, you know, coach, I'm coming after you a little bit, leaning on analytics when, let's be honest, you just wanted to go for it. The last couple of games, and really last year as well, we saw Lane lean because he had a good kicker last year. And got a good kicker this year, Lucas Bonero.
Man, Jake Schoonover, shouts out to him in his room. He keeps replenishing.
They've been really good. I mean, I love Caden Davis, but my gosh, it's hard to beat Lucas Canero. And seeing Lane evolve as a play caller, and not only that, but a game manager and a decision maker in the game, to me, my last helmet sticker goes to Lane Kiffin's intestinal fortitude.
I like that. I really do. Because the fourth down call, I was surprised that he admitted that he actually really deliberated. I really am. That kind of surprised me because the book says go. But, like, he does play the human element a lot. I mean, he'll tell you that. It's not a secret.
But he never comes into the press conference and offers up. Nobody asks him anything about, you know, coach, kind of what went into that. You know, Michael asked a good question, but he didn't really just dig. He offered. I flipped over. And I asked Pete, hey, man, what you think? He was like, just go for it.
Actually, I asked that question. I asked the fourth down question.
My bad. I thought Michael.
I'm just saying. Give me some love. Give me some love. All right.
Anyway, that was.
I'd like to switch over to the offensive stats for me real quick. I want to give it to Caden Lee, but I want to see if I'm cheating anybody else. Go to the home stats. I want to give it to Caden. Golly, Kewan Lacy had 87 tough yards, only 3.8 per carry.
He earned every bit yard.
Logan Diggs got a touchdown. That's good.
How about Logan Diggs? Yes. The transfer went to Notre Dame. Been healthy, went to LSU.
Born the LSU Tiger. All the Tigers got some today.
Blew his knee out. Really has had a tough go of it this year. And man, hats off to Lane and to Charlie Weiss calling that play. And Logan, huge hole. By the way, we haven't said anything about the offensive line. Bullish on them.
You're right.
Only 17 holding calls today, but not all of those are on the offensive line. But, I think the offensive line played their tails off. How many sacks did Trinidad
have? He's only got two so far through three games, and one of them was he stepped out of bounds. So, a lot of that, too, has to do with his ability to move around the pocket. But, like, they've been giving him clean pockets.
Yeah.
They're getting beat sometimes, but I'm going to tell you something. You know what? There you go. I would love to give it to Kewan Lacy. 87 tough yards, man. Led Ole Miss in rushing. Trinidad had 14 for 71.
It's just so quietly. I mean, good grief. I think it was Billy Embody that said he runs effortlessly.
Yeah.
You don't realize how fast he's running. And then, like, you talk about how many yards, the yards after contact. I mean, Lacy is the pro about yards after contact. As soon as he hits the hole, I mean, he's churning. He's doing everything he can. He's always falling forward. But Chambliss he's just quietly and just so meticulous. He sees it.
What maneuverability.
Yeah, coming in early on, the LSU crowd behind us, what little crowd that LSU had, was in the game.
Times have changed, my guy.
And Chambliss was just pointing. He's looking at these guys. He's like, calm down. It's okay. He looked at the sideline doing the Mr. Miyagi. He's doing the Mr. Miyagi.
I love the way that he bounced back from that turnover. Like, completely unfazed.
Yeah, unfazed.
And honestly, again, I don't hate the throw. I just hate that he took the chance we didn't have to. So, anyway, want to give it to Kewan Lacy. Caden Lee, my guy, 4 catches for 70 yards in his first touchdown of the year. 6 targets. Had a good day.
Just had the one
fumble. The fumble was tough going in, man.
Does Ole Miss blow it up if they score there? It's really hard to say.
It's hard to say.
This game is so crazy with LSU.
Either way, they controlled it, though. After they survived that first push from LSU.
Yeah.
It's 7-3, and LSU had the ball to go up 14-3, and Ole Miss stiff upper lip, really went to the mattresses against them and held them off on that initial surge. And after that, Ole Miss controlled this football game. Now, when it was 10-7, it felt a lot bigger than 10-7 because they completely controlled both lines of scrimmage, and they weren't scared of Garrett Nussmeier at all. So, Caden Lee, I'd love to give it to you. Daquan Wright, man, that is an NFL tight end for 10 years. At worst, he's Kenny Yeboah, who's going to be on a practice squad right now for the Detroit Lions for the next 10 years. I mean, what a great game for him. 4 for 66. he had the big fourth down reception where he was wide open, beautifully designed play. Here's something they've been doing all day. Ole Miss, they try to come out and be a little bit more pass heavy because they knew that LSU was going to try to make Trinidad beat them through the air. And instead, they reverted back to what they do well, run the ball.
Right.
And over again, they were running inside zone and running a split where Daquan Wright was coming across formation and blocking his man, and they were running right off of it. Twice, they burnt their ass at the end of first half and on that fourth down call. Brought him across formation like it looked like inside zone. You're running a pack formation. He leaks out wide open. They'd been setting it up all game long. I want to give a helmet sticker to Charlie Weiss, even though, man, he had some tough moments too. But when he called for the big calls, they were right. But I'm going to give it to that offensive line because you have been right. Georgia State was bad. Georgia State was really bad. It was the first time that starting five on the offensive line had been together ever. Together, that's true. Not even in fall camp. None of them, like, they held them out. They wanted to get them here. So, and Patrick Kudus hadn't really played in the full calendar year.
He gets better every game.
Getting better and better.
I mean, nobody got crapped on more than him.
Delano, exactly, man. And he is just
Delano Towns is legit.
Delano,
now, this offensive line. All right,
Delano Towns
completely changed when Delano Townsend came in. The
yes, game. Delano goes in, replaces PJ Wilkins, who's become a nice sixth offensive lineman for them for some depth. But he's changed the game in terms of their interior physicality. Bryson Sanders, my dude, you deserve all the credit in the world. I think Brett Norsworthy, you talked to him this week on your podcast, and he mentioned how Ole Miss runs out of the shotgun, and this is a new center starting for the first time. And have you seen one bad shotgun snap?
I don't think so.
And he continues to get better and better. My helmet sticker goes to that offensive line. That two quarters at Georgia State were god-awful. Four of their lowest graded, four of their bottom seven graded players for Georgia State were starting offensive linemen. Last week, four were in the top 10 in grades, and they continue to show up. So, offensive line, my home, my peoples, former bad offensive lineman right here, helmet sticker. Y'all are holding up, and as long as they can stay healthy, cross your fingers, knock on some wood. They're doing great things, especially with a run-heavy quarterback at Trinidad Chambliss under center.
To all of you that stopped me in the Grove and stopped me outside the stadium, inside the stadium, and said that you enjoyed the post-game show, post-game drive home,
yes.
Thank you very much. I mean, it means a lot to me. It really does.
It's been a hard week for your boy. It's the truth.
But this is a great way to all come together as one family and talk about a huge win for Ole Miss. We've enjoyed the show tonight. We thank you, and we could not do it without our friends over at Allen Samuels.
Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram.
That's it. Our good friend. Just called Mason Reeves today.
Brian Johnson, too.
Brian Johnson, man. Yeah. Those guys do great work. Tell them you heard about it on the Drive Home podcast. Following the big win over LSU, it was a big win tonight, 24-19. More importantly, the Rebels are 5-0, 3-0 in the SEC.
Final thoughts with this, okay? Let's wrap it up. Let's put about the final verdict, we'll call it. We'll wrap it up with this way. Looking at the backdrop of the college football environment right now, the games that happened today, what Ole Miss did, what's the final verdict for you after Ole Miss beats LSU 24-19?
Jason Campbell, thank you. I'm going to extend my helmet sticker to one more and go to Jalen Braxton. He was great tonight.
Zachary Rogers has been lit, bro.
No, he's not.
Hold on. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. That's all I'm saying. I'm everybody's hype man. And, yeah, I'm a little – I had a great time. This was a blessing today. I'm going to tell you the truth now. Like, I wasn't coming today. I wasn't coming.
I told him he had to come because we had to do this live after.
I wasn't coming today. It's been a hard week professionally for me. The only thing I know for sure is that I'll do a post game with Brad Logan. All right? That's what I know for sure. I am so glad I came. Sudo Upadeya, who I do a podcast with on Mondays, he said, Ben, you got to get here. And we spent the whole time out here in the crowd. I wasn't on my computer. I was down there for 7 minutes in the final 7 minutes. I got to talk to Bull Dodder, your friend. I got to talk to William Eccles and tell him how good he played. So, I mean, like, I got to have a great Ole Miss day myself on a very tough week. So, thank y'all. And when I'm walking in, I'm like, damn, I don't want to be here right now. Like, all this stuff has happened. And then I walk in, and it's bottleneck right there from coming out of the pavilion. And the people after people going, hey, Ben, let's go get him, Ben. Hotty toddy, Ben. Y'all have no idea how uplifting that there was for me. That was a great God gift to me today. I'm thankful I was here. I'm thankful we did this. We'll keep it rolling because, man, sometimes you need to be reminded, me especially, the cynical Ben, sometimes you need to be reminded of what you really give a shit about and who gives a shit about you. And y'all do, and today was special.
Yeah, so. Jason, thank you for that. 100% Jalen Braxton, somebody that has been put through the ringer. Not really sure what the injury was, but we know that he hadn't played. Not only did he play, he played well. He played significant snaps tonight, and he made some big plays late in the game. So, Jason, good call. Helmet sticker goes to Jalen Braxton. I want to thank you all once again. We're going to take an off week next week. I encourage you to sit back and enjoy some college football.
Thank you.
Spend some time with family. We'll see all of you here again in 2 weeks. It'll be Washington State, and the Rebels are undefeated. They're 5-0, 3-0 in the SEC. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Remember, we've got the Red and Blue Crew podcast, Believe It Ole Miss podcast.
Talk of Champions.
Talk of Champions here.
That's mine.
That's, of course, over at Rebel Grove. That's an affiliate of On Three.
And we
could not be happier to get to come to you and see you after the game. Thank you all. It was the record night, and we're grateful that you were here along for the ride.
I'm going to hit off in stream, but again, Ole Miss fan, celebrate, dude.
Mm-hmm.
What a fun day. And, man, I'm glad I was here to see it. I'm glad I was here to experience it. And I was glad I was here to experience with people like you who came up to me person after person and made me feel like a part of the community that y'all are. Great, great day. We'll see you next week.
So long, everybody.